We're back with a new day, new time, you guys. Darren, turn your camera on.
No, I'm on strike.
Oh.
You can't strike.
I can strike.
You're not union. You can't strike.
Okay, it's a half strike because I'm here.
All right. You know what I'm most excited about our new day and time?
Why?
Because we're closed on Sunday. Oh, you're my Chick-fil-A.
Yo, play the theme music, man.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Colorado Show, your midweek lunch break here in Colorado to catch up on all the madness. I learned recently that I have the same birthday as Kanye West, and I'm embracing it.
Ashye. That's what you need to change your name to.
Did you watch the Sean Ryan interview with General Quast?
No, I started watching the one with him and Tucker. But
yeah, well, they get into like quantum entanglement and how there's like two... thought, you know, like you can split something into two parts and they're entangled. So like potentially everybody has like another half. There could be an infinite number of views. What if one of mine is Kanye? Did you ever think of that, Darren?
Nah. Nah. But I could see that because I go places and I go out of town. Like I always get run into somebody. It's like, you look familiar. I ain't never been here before. What the are you talking about? Never been here. No, you sure you're not the... No, I didn't go to high school.
Wow.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Maybe you did.
Oh, wow.
Maybe you were.
Maybe you were not there.
Maybe, no. Look, see, this is how people get in trouble. See, this is why I gotta go.
And we're striking again.
That's why we're... Yep, there it goes.
Leave it to the men. All right. Before we get into the content, we have a lot of content to get through. Colorado is the center of the nation right now, man. There's so much going on. But before we do that, we're going to hear from our first couple sponsors. We will be right back.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashotsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio because you really need to. It's coming.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there, there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
And we're back.
All right. And you changed the order around. Interesting.
Well, I didn't mean to. It was just when I
changed it. You did. You meant to do that. You meant to do it.
Oh, stop being a drama queen. All right. So first up, we have lawsuits. And you're distracting me now. The one that I think is the most interesting is Mike Lindell's trial that's happening next week. Yep. So Mike Lindell is being sued for defamation, and the truth is an absolute defense against defamation. And so this could be an opportunity to actually get the evidence of election fraud, before a court. If he can prove that what he said was true, then he's not guilty for defamation. So Kyle Clark, one of our favorites here in Colorado, did a spot on this. And we're going to play this and kind of pause it as we go and talk through it, because some of this is wild.
The most important trial ever begins in Denver next week. If that sounds like a bit of an exaggeration or perhaps a completely wackadoodle claim, you should know that it's coming from my pillow guy and election denier, Mike Lindell. Now, in fairness to Lindell, I am sure that it is the most important trial ever to him, because he is the one who is going to be on trial.
How many iterations of that statement do you think the writers went through?
Considering how uncreative some of them are, they this one was a mission. This took a team.
They might have had to employ a ChatGPT.
They probably brought in a consultant that's telling the DNC about how men think.
And paid him $120 million.
Yeah.
Accused of defamation for saying that Denver-based Dominion Voting Systems and one particular Coloradan rigged the 2020 election.
That particular Coloradan is Eric Coomer, former vice president of product strategy and security for Dominion Voting Systems at the time of the 2020 election. And the record on Eric Coomer is very interesting. Folks in Colorado will remember he drove his car into the side of a building in Salida and then fled the scene, lied to police. It wasn't until they were like, bro, like, we have eyewitnesses seeing you flee the scene and there's cameras and stuff. Yeah. Also his fantasy writings about treating his wife like a dog went viral a few years ago. He's a real interesting character, but on one of the cases, it's either the Missouri, Louisiana case or the Fox News case. It came out and said that Eric Coomer had emails that said something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, but something to the effect of our security is Swiss cheese or our systems are Swiss cheese. So it'll be interesting to see what is used as evidence in this trial. We'll talk about that in a second.
Against Donald Trump. Truth is an absolute defense against defamation. So if Lindell can come to court and prove that he was telling the truth about election rigging, he's in the clear. I actually think that this upcoming trial deserves more attention than it's getting. Because this is the chance for election deniers to provide their proof of the alleged conspiracy, the one that the most powerful man in the world, President of the United States, will not stop talking about, even now that he's back in the White House.
Because it's true.
But I think I know why this upcoming trial in Denver is
why, guys,
being ignored. Let's start with the media. It seems like a lot of national journalists are just tired of covering Trump's election rigging lies. They're now 5 years old.
They've never actually covered the claims.
Oh, now we're supposed to just forget it happened, even though y'all keep bringing up January 6th like every single freaking day of the week. But we're supposed to forget about what caused January 6th.
Yeah, got Karen, it. That's the whole idea.
Got
you
it.
Didn't know? You didn't know?
Didn't know.
And it's George a loaded, Floyd. It's a loaded bias statements. Too. We're sick of covering Donald Trump's election lies.
Lies?
Well, you never covered the claims. You never looked at the evidence. You relied on people like Matt Crane to say, oh, no, that's been debunked. And that was good enough for you, journalist. But this gets better. Wait for it.
I also believe that a number of Colorado's local journalists are skittish about covering political extremism. It draws accusations.
They put us on lists on the regular. They have they're not skittish at all. There's no repercussion for calling everyone you disagree with Nazis and white supremacists in the state of Colorado. They're not skittish at all.
No repercussions. Nope.
Of bias and threats of violence. And if we're being totally honest, it's a lot more complicated to cover than much of what ends up on the evening news.
Threats of violence?
Says the guy. On really? The evening news.
Now let's talk about the general public.
It gets good here.
I think a lot of Democrats are hesitant to talk about Mike Lindell's election rigging claims because they don't want to give fuel to theories that erode faith in our elections.
What?
Are you out of your rabid ass mind?
Democrats are just super good people that really care about democracy. And so they don't want to talk about this case because it might erode faith in democracy. And for Democrats, they exist to preserve and protect democracy. Also, the past several Democrat primaries have been wholly rigged for the establishment candidate. And there's a massive scandal going on right now with an auto pen where a group of freaking shadowy oligarchs were running the country while the demented cancer patient was pretending and bumbling his way through. And I don't really understand where the cries to preserve and protect democracy are from Democrats, including Kyle Clark.
Well, in his defense, he just found out about the cancer. So.
Oh, yeah. There was zero indication before that he had dementia.
He was perfectly normal.
No indication at all.
2 weeks ago, he was just fine. You know.
Wow.
Democrats
just
want to protect democracy, guys. That's why they're not talking about election fraud, is because they just really care so much about democracy.
I know what it is to have roaches.
Bernie Sanders feel about that. How is the 2024 Democrat primary to decide who the candidate would be in 2024? How did that go? Was that a real lesson in democracy, Kyle Clark?
Did you hear Karen? She's like, wow.
Oh my God, these people. Right. They literally didn't have a they just handed. Thank you, Ash, for pointing that out. They handed you people a candidate. Here you go.
Kamala Harris.
Who
dropped out of the 2020 primary first.
I thought Tony, I thought Tony Blinken was running the show as much as I saw him.
Well,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought Anthony Blinken was like a one-man band.
Yeah. We got auto pen stuff coming up later in the show.
You thought it was who? Yeah.
Skippy.
Who the hell is Skippy?
Tony Podesta.
Oh, okay.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that the one in there that has like the most, you know, mental capacity is Jake Sullivan. He's always been my guess.
That's another
that's
option.
A low bar.
Yeah.
Look at the pool we're talking about.
Shit.
Look at
this.
The media, and by that I mean the Democrats' position right now, is we were all misled by Joe Biden.
Yeah. Well,
Nobody could have known that he was, you know, mentally incapacitated and unable to actually faithfully execute the duties of the office of the President of the United States. Nobody could have known that. Jake Tapper says he didn't know until he started doing the research for his book. Motherfucker was
right.
He was covering the White House every single day.
Hold on, check it out.
Every single day, but not until the book.
Sean Hannity said this back in 2019. So I don't know where the hell everybody else was. He talked about Joe's cognitive decline back in 2019.
Here's the funny thing. And his 2019 was, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
I think Hunter could have possibly been running the show. And the reason I say that is, have you ever seen how much damage a guy can do on cocaine?
Where's the music? You forgot the music, for God's sake.
All right, we're going to shift into AutoPen next. I was going to save it for the end, but we're going to do it next because it's relevant. But let's finish this first.
Oh, God, not him. Okay.
I think a lot of Republicans are hesitant to talk about this, too. Because while you see a bunch of Republicans not along in agreement with Trump's election rigging claims, when people have to explain exactly how the elections are rigged, that's when folks start to sound goofy.
All right, pull up a chair.
Here we go.
Nope. Hold up a second. Fake voters, fake ballots, fake counts. That's how the elections are rigged. It starts in the voter rolls. When you have inflated voter rolls, you have a whole bunch of extra voters that you can deploy at will. But, you know, you need to know who those voters are. You need to know who's voted and who hasn't voted and the ability to deploy those voters at will. You need code and algorithms for that. Thankfully, we have election management software that gives you that code and shows you what those margins are. In fact, in Elbert County, they proved that you can actually pause the election event and check the results on the Dominion machines. Check the results, not the turnout. Check the results of who's winning and how many votes you need. And then Ballot Tracks gives you who's voted and who hasn't voted. So you have the fake voters and you have the ability to identify them and deploy them. You know what else you do? Everybody on those voter rolls gets a mail-in ballot. You have ballots just dropping from the sky. There is no chain of custody. There's no integrity of the ballots. That's just fake voters, fake ballots. And then you put them into a black box machine where you are not allowed to see the code and you are not allowed to check the count. And they give you some bullshit risk limiting audit and tell everybody, everything is fine. We investigated ourselves. We audited ourselves. It's totally fine. That's how it happens. It's not goofy. It's actually pretty clearly documented in multiple court proceedings and in their own manuals and in their own documentation and in their own admissions. Suck a dick.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, you sound goofy. Nobody understands how it works. No, it's
two at a time.
It's complicated. It's complicated by design, but it's not impossible to figure out. We had it figured out in 2021, like, Kyle Clark.
But his thing, he's just another operative. See, this is why.
100%.
Let me ask you. 100%. Let me ask you this. How are Kyle Clark's ratings in Colorado?
Oh, he's like the top show, I think. The top evening. No, it's evening news. Who watches evening news anymore? But, you know, I don't know. We should look that up. We'll see if we can find
it. He's like the Rachel Maddow of Colorado.
Of Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But he does have a pool of people who believe his nonsense. And all he has to do is what the classic communist talking, how do you say, tactic is to mock your opponent, mock them, right. Laugh at them. And they always have that little, well, it's just stupid to even bring something like that up. Conspiracy theories. They all do it because they're trying
all
to make
experts agree, though, Karen. All the experts agree that there's nothing to see there.
Of course. Keep walking.
They have an element of sarcasm. In order to pull off the nonsense, but because you're dealing with it is a thing. They're talking to uncharismatic people. So to them,
correct.
So the people that are listening to them, it's like, oh, this person is astute. Look at this guy. He's sarcastic. So you know, it's witty, it's smart. Oh yes, he went to Harvard. So that's why they get away with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like think about like if you ever talk to somebody who watches MSNBC, these are the most like wallpaper as people. Like Joy Reid's, you know, sarcastic, you know, shtick is like their cup of tea because it means like, oh, we have somebody that is more lively than me. You know what I'm saying? That's why they find people interesting. That's why they sit there and watch a Rachel Maddow fake cry over kids in cage. It's like, it doesn't make any sense, you know? Yeah.
So, Democrats or Republicans don't want to look goofy. The media is just, you know, they've done all that they can and they're just sick of covering the lies.
Oh,
right. So they're not doing it. And then Democrats, they just super duper care about democracy and they want to protect democracy. The Democrats who haven't held a legitimate primary since before 2016 and who knows when before that.
Until somebody
the Democrats just care about democracy.
Well, somebody needs to make this make sense to me because
that Kamala number isn't right. It was 70 something when all was said and done.
Right, yeah. What, 8 weeks later?
I think they stopped. They finally stopped counting in January.
Yeah, like it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
And they still didn't have it.
Stupid.
Yeah. So I
and it
at
was
like
still
this.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and that was all. And it all came from California. Go figure. So
yeah, that's right.
Until somebody can make this make sense to me, like you look down, you look at the first person, you know, the Black Dalai Lama of the Democrat Party. Like this guy was like the most charismatic thing the Democrats.
Why are you racist?
The Black Dalai Lama.
Yeah, Negro Diamond. That's him. Like you know what I'm saying? The king of Kenya. All right. So if you look at the numbers here, this was like their Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And you
for real though.
And you get Joe, and this is what makes you good. Get up off your ass and go vote. Really? In what world? In what
follow
world?
Follow the pressure.
Yeah.
I love that one. That's a good one.
What was that?
We should find one of you guys. Oh, Karen probably can't because she's in the car. But Darren, see if you can find that mashup of like Joe's greatest hits. While you're looking for that, Democrats just care about democracy. Also, Democrats, this first clip, we've got kind of couple different things we're going to go through here. First clip is David Sacks, the crypto czar. This is a clip about crypto, but he makes a very important statement in here that is kind of wild.
This is the financial system of the future, Jesse, and we have to encourage it. What the Biden administration was doing, and let's face it, it wasn't Biden. Elizabeth Warren controlled the auto pen during that administration. She, for some reason, has this pathological hatred of the crypto.
So, what? Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, let's back it up and watch Jesse Waters' face.
Right.
It wasn't Biden. Elizabeth Warren controlled the auto pen during that administration. She, for some reason, has this pathological hatred of the crypto.
Elizabeth Warren was running the auto pen. Definitely didn't give Pocahontas enough.
That's crypto, news to all of us.
As far as crypto, that makes sense because all she does is whine about crypto and Elon. Crypto and Elon.
Elon.
Yeah, he comes back and he clarifies because this was we played this on OnlyLands last night and it was like, wait, what?
OnlyLands.
What hilarious. Do you just know this to be true? So David Sacks clarifies and says, my theory is that multiple people controlled the auto pen depending on what issue it was. On crypto, Warren controlled the auto pen. Now, I was on Badlands Daily this morning and Brian, you know, he made the which I think is a pretty clear state. It didn't, you know, penetrate until he made it so plainly, but it was being sold.
Yes.
They were buying and selling the office of the president and wow.
Yep. You can't do that. Yeah. When you are a federal employee, you cannot do that shit. You have, if the pen, you have DocuSign assigned to you when you are onboarded. You are explicitly, it's drilled into your head over and over and over, training twice a year on this subject. You cannot use somebody else's signature. It is a crime, bro. You cannot do this. Who is going to jail for stealing $93 trillion?
What if you have to for democracy, though?
Sorry, billion.
What if you have to forge someone else's signature for democracy? Is it okay then?
No.
What if you have to stop Trump? But no. Trump, Karen. What if you have to stop Trump?
Well, see, they must have changed the rules in 2016 because technically you are not supposed to use anybody else's signature in a capacity that's defrauding the federal government, by the way. They drill that into our head. You cannot sign my supervisor is on leave for 3 weeks and this needs to be signed. Well, guess what? Then you need to go to the next in rank supervisor who is here, who is on the clock and not on leave and get their signature. That you always have a backup as a department, even. There's always three or four people who are signatories at the higher level. You cannot use somebody else's signature at all for any reason ever.
What if you can pay for it?
Ooh, somebody going to J-A-Y-L-E. Yeah.
So the question then, if David Sacks is right, and multiple people were controlling the auto pen,
woo, are these Negroes going?
Depending on what the issue is, there had to be a centralized control for who was buying and selling access, or, you know, trading access to. There had to be a central control. Well, Project Veritas might have identified who that is. Check this out.
Oh, this is nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Off the record, of course.
Foundational question for me is, like, how corrupt is the DNC if so many people knew, or few people knew about Biden? Well, the president of the United States.
I mean, I think the fact of the matter is the DNC is always going to be, like, a campaign arm of the president, ultimately. The bigger issue was, like, the inner circle that was around Biden. That's it.
And I can't stress you enough.
Like, Joe Biden's chief of staff, like, had an enormous amount of power.
Joe Biden?
Joe Biden's chief of staff.
That was, like, an open secret at the left. Like, I would avoid him. Like, he was scary.
What was his name?
Anthony Trump.
I've never seen him.
Exactly.
What do you mean?
He's just like a shadowy, like, Wizard of Oz type figure. That's what made him so, like, I knew how he looked, but I'm like, the general public wouldn't know how this man looked. But he wielded an enormous amount of power, and I can't stress to you how much power he had in the White House.
Right.
Yo, hold on. Who is the one that caught them on camera? This, like, it was one of, I know it's one of his spies that he sends out.
This is Veritas.
Who do they fake to be? Yeah, but I'm saying, who do they fake to be? Who do they pretend to be to meet these people?
Usually a date.
Yeah, usually it's like a hooker or something, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, who he was, like, did he meet David Hogg on Grindr or something? Like, how did that work?
Right.
No, we'll have to watch the full exclusive at Project Veritas on X. I don't know when it's coming out. That's
private chat. Current.
Okay.
Check the private chat.
Am I playing this?
I found what you were looking for. You told me to go find it.
24 minutes long.
Yeah, man. That's how bad it is. They have an hour long one too.
I was going for a 90 second clip. We're not playing 24 minutes of Biden's gaffe.
You don't have to play all 24 minutes. Just enough of it. Yeah.
All right. We'll do it. We'll do a bit.
You can do it at the end.
We'll do it now. It's relevant now. We'll do it now.
Don't mess with the women out of America unless you want to get.
Should we speed it up, or will that make him look too competent?
No, that make him look too normal. You got to keep it.
Yeah, just let it roll.
I'm not introducing me, Marcus. So thank you all. God bless you all. Let's go.
What?
Let's go lick the world. Let's get it done.
But I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to bed.
Have a good time. Thank you for your service from the bottom of my heart. Really. Happy Thanksgiving. See you all. Oh, who am I giving this to?
We are a community that relies on family.
Just sleep. Just cook.
Middle class was built by
now, hold on, pause it for a second.
And the union has built the middle class.
Okay, now the sleeping thing with these guys, I can totally understand that. Because I've been a teenager falling asleep during boring shit. So I can get that. Now, on a consistent basis,
he's not a teenager, Darren. He's the president of allegedly president of the United States.
Look, I totally get it, but the man is like pushing. The man's knocking on 80's door. He's knocking on 80's door. I can see him falling asleep every once in a while. Totally get it. We watched Clinton do it. Clinton fell asleep before.
Doesn't make it okay.
Look. I'm a little understanding. Okay, a little bit.
President Trump does not fall asleep.
Mm-mm. I mean, I'm sure he's fallen asleep at once or twice.
All right, we're doing one more minute.
Or at least, you know what? At least if he falls asleep, it doesn't look like he fell asleep.
There you go. He sleeps with his eyes open, baby.
Yeah. Stop it.
Look at this.
Two of the great artists of our time representing the groundbreaking legacy of hip hop in America. LLJ Cool J. You could say even this harder than getting a ticket to the Renaissance tour or Britney's tour. She's down in, it's kind of warm in Brazil right now. And by the way, with other movies and movies, she's earned a Golden Globe and a Primetime Emmy.
Enemy?
That's me.
but.
Now that we are back together here in Cambodia, I look forward to building even stronger progress than we've already made. And I want to thank the Prime Minister for Colombia's leadership and the ASEAN's ASEAN.
To say to President Biden, can you hear me, President Biden? This is a historical moment for Brazil and for the U.S. President Biden, can you hear me? You can? Yes, good.
Watch this. Watch this. This is the greatest shit in the world.
Well, we're going to win and we're going to help. We have plans to build a railroad from the Pacific all the way across the Indian Ocean.
Oh, yeah? Sure, really?
The third world, the southern hemisphere had access to change, had access. It wasn't confrontational at all. You came with
Mary. Thank you, everybody. This ends the press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Democrats are just so concerned about democracy, you guys. They just really want to make sure that the person that leads their party and the nation is the person that the people choose who will, you know, be most representative. I love that he went to Vietnam and called them the third world. Like, yeah. What the f- wow.
Gross.
Should we keep going or should we move on?
No, let's let it fly.
All right.
At least a little bit more.
No, you know what? I have a 16-minute video that is way more entertaining than Biden gaffes, and we have a whole bunch more content, but the 16-minute video is coming up, and we're going to try and get as much of it in as we can. We could speed that one up. It's not Biden. We're going to continue talking about lawsuits now. New one dropped yesterday. The XXXY brand Jennifer Say, who used to be at Levi's, I believe, and left Levi's. She's now running XXXY Athletics. This women's activist sportswear brand is suing the state of Colorado over a recent state law that the company claims.
Something's playing.
I'm doing it right now.
Show him the pictures. So said,
the state law, the company claims, would interfere with its ability to market its message. The lawsuit takes aim at state for passing a law called HB 25-1312, also referred to as the Transgender Bill of Rights or something like that. Transgender rights.
First of all, thank you.
Amending Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act, which defines gender expression to include chosen name and how an individual chooses to be addressed. The laws state Coloradans have a right to access public accommodations and advertising that are free of discrimination on that basis. The company's lawsuit claims that the state's new legislation would make it illegal for the brand to carry out certain viral marketing campaign techniques it has used since launching last year.
What goes through your
okay.
And how long when is it? Oh, that's 5 minutes. So the links to everything that we're showing you guys are in the show notes. So you can always go back and watch and all that. Where'd Karen go?
I don't know.
She was abducted.
She's on a mission.
There she is. There she is. Were the aliens nice to you? Oh,
very accommodating.
Do you hear that, Darren, or is it me?
Oh, I hear
you. Oh. What the hell is that? Can you? Okay. Is it gone?
It's real. No, it's still there. It's real choppy. Check your audio settings.
Like your microphone is in a bag of potato chips.
It's like you're talking to us from inside of a car, but in like 1994.
Right. Microphone. Automatically adjust volume. Da-da-da.
Yeah.
Echo. Cancellation. Okay. Is that better?
A little. Do you have reduce mic background noise checked?
Make sure. I think so. Yeah.
Okay, yep. Cool. Yeah, it seems all right now. So the 1312 is not
whoa.
All right.
Whoa. You have to leave and come back, Karen.
I'm coming
yeah,
back in.
Refresh. Yeah. So 1312 is the bill that, you know, we've been talking about, everybody's been talking about, that allows them in, you know, custody disputes to apply gender expression to whether or who gets the kids and those kinds of things. We talked about a couple weeks ago, Idra Haji, the Christian camp that is suing over this bill because it's going to force them to lie about, you know, children and to cohabitate boys and girls together. Oh, I was just about to bring her in. She left again. And so this is a new angle on this. Same lawsuit. This is a new angle in the marketing and advertising. You're forcing us to market our products to Colorado in a way that is inconsistent with our beliefs and forces us to lie and basically forces you to adopt the state religion of rainbow communism. So good on them for the lawsuit.
Yeah, this is a good freaking question.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, if Veritas is right, it might be Jill Biden's chief of staff.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That feels like they've picked him to be the scapegoat, though, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Hogg. David Hogg is like caught on camera.
Yeah, but Hogg is a he's a dork. So
nope. Something happened to your mic.
What did you do? Drop your phone into the water?
I can't.
Yo, Karen, go buy a new phone and come back.
Something changed. Yeah.
Here, you know what? I'm putting on my earbuds. Maybe that'll.
All right. Give me a thumbs up when you're back because the feedback I can't handle. So give me a thumbs up down here when you're ready, and I'll pull you back in. Okay. So another lawsuit was filed, announced yesterday. It's a fun one. We've got Colorado Public Radio and NPR and some other local Colorado stations are suing. They are saying that President Trump cutting their funding because of bias is not fair. Targets NPR and PBS expressly in the president's view because their news and other content is not fair, accurate, or unbiased. So this is the video I was talking about. This mashup was put together by The Blaze, and it's freaking wild. This is excellent.
Ms. Maher, who is Uri Berliner?
Mr. Berliner is a former senior editor.
That's all?
A former senior business editor for NPR.
How long do you work at NPR?
I believe he was there just over 25 years.
25 years? Award-winning journalist? Did he win any awards?
Our time to
Peabody Award, that's pretty important, isn't it?
That is, absolutely.
A pretty distinguished journalist, right?
Certainly.
And he wrote a long story about what you do at NPR. Is NPR biased?
Congressman, I have never seen any instance of...
Never?
Of political bias.
No, Lord.
Mr. Berliner,
in his story last year, wrote, I've... In the D.C. area, editorial positions at NPR, he said he found 87 registered Democrats, 0 Republicans. Is that accurate?
We do not track the numbers or the voter registration, but I find that.
Was award-winning journalist who worked 25 years at NPR, Mr. Berliner, was he lying when he wrote that?
I am not presuming such. I just don't have, we don't track that information about our journalists.
87 to 0, and you're not biased?
I think that is.
Sorry, I mean, it wasn't 44-43, it wasn't 60-27, it wasn't 70-17, it wasn't even 80-7. It was 87 Democrats, 0 Republicans.
No instance of bias.
NPR is not biased. How about the big stories over the last few years? According to Mr. Berliner, again, he wrote on the Trump-Russia story, he wrote, at NPR, we hitched our wagon to Trump's most visible antagonist, Representative Adam Schiff. And he said they interviewed him 25 times. Is that accurate?
I was not there at the time, but those numbers sound accurate. Yes.
Those sound accurate. But then he said when the Mueller report came out and they said, Robert Mueller said he found no evidence of collusion. He said, Russiagate faded from our programming. Is that accurate?
Again, I was not there at the time. I couldn't say.
You couldn't say?
I was not.
You didn't research?
You didn't prepare for that? You knew we were going to ask you about this guy, didn't you? It's come up like 6,000 times already in the hearing.
I just couldn't say whether it faded. coverage, sir.
How about this story? October 2020, the New York Post had the Hunter Biden laptop story, and one of those editors, I guess one of those 87 Democrat editors, said this: we don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. We don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' times on stories that are just pure distractions. Was that a pure distraction story?
Our current editorial leadership believes that that was a mistake, as do I.
Yeah, the whole country knows that was a mistake. It definitely impacted, it certainly impacted the election. How about the COVID origin story? That's a pretty big story too, right? Mr. Berliner said, we became fervent members of the team Natural Origin, even declaring that the lab leak was debunked by scientists. Turns out, though, the lab leak is what most people think actually caused the COVID virus.
Okay. Sorry, is there a question there?
There is. You guys were 0-3 on the three of the biggest stories in the last 5 years. You guys were 0-3, and yet you maintain that NPR is not biased?
Congressman, I do not believe we are politically biased. No, we are a nonpartisan organization.
Nonpartisan organization. What's happened to your listeners over the last 5 years? Went up, down, or stayed the same?
It has gone up and down and is now going back up.
Well, I thought 5 years ago it was at 60 million. And you said in your opening statement, I think 43 million.
That's correct.
So 43 million now, and it was at 60 million 5 years ago. I can do some math. That looks like it went down.
And is now going back up.
It's now going back up?
Yes, well, it is.
How much has it went back up?
It's gone up a couple of millions over the past
year. Oh, so you went from 60 million to 41 million. Now you're back up to 43 million.
In a year's time, I'm very proud of that growth, sir.
Okay, you're proud of that growth.
I'm sure
you
are.
But over 5 years, it's went down 18 million.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, sir.
Okay. Should taxpayers subsidize NPR?
She's very good.
I believe the taxpayers subsidize local stations, sir. That is the vast majority.
I thought you said you got 11 million from Corporation Public Broadcasting, which is taxpayer funded directly to you. Right?
That is to support the public.
And then local stations get it from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, right? They get tax.
100 million that goes to the local
stations. 100 million goes to local stations. And then those local stations buy back programming and content from you. So that money goes to the local stations, comes back to you, gets routed through the local stations, all taxpayer money.
Those fees are actually based on private donations rather than on federal funding.
Well, we all know money is fungible, so some of it gets put in there.
Certainly, we could agree that money is fungible.
What? More money for less listeners. You fired the guy who pointed all this out, who said that you were so biased to the left that you lost listeners, which is exactly happening. And you're here maintaining that, you need to continue to get taxpayer money.
I did not fire Mr. Berliner, sir.
Okay, the guy that left after all that. Understand. Are you fundraising off today's hearing?
Sir, I believe that there was a message that went out earlier today letting people know we were coming in. Yes.
Yeah, and at the bottom of the message, it said, donate now, right?
I don't recall the exact language.
I'll show it to you. Right there it is. Donate now. I mean, I'm not against fundraising. We all do it. I mean, I get it. But I assume this fundraising thing is probably going to all the left listeners who are subsidized content by the taxpayers, and that's the
gentleman's time is expired.
That's the rub.
Mr. Ullman, I'm glad you brought up a point. It's been mentioned a couple of times already at the early start of this hearing about rural and remote. And I have to tell the story. When I graduated from college with a degree in agriculture, I went back to rural Monroe County, Kentucky, and worked on a farm, my farm, for 5 years, full-time. Farm to this day, but full time. I was in a tractor sometimes 10, 12, 14 hours a day. And I listened to the radio. The only radio station I could get that had news was public radio. So I listened to as many hours of public radio as anyone on this panel, I can assure you. And it was a great service. That was 30 some years ago. Today, in that same remote area, I mean, you've got Sirius XM, you've got podcasts, there's internet access now. There's a whole menu of media options now. So but over time, and I still occasionally listen to NPR because I just want to hear what they have to say. And I don't even recognize the station anymore. It's not.
I have to say, I call bullshit on that. I don't think anybody wants to hear what they have to say.
News. I feel like,
well, according to her, 43 million people
every
do.
Time I listen to NPR. And, you know, a media entity like MSNBC or Huffington Post that, in my opinion, consistently spews disinformation, they can do that. They're a private company. But NPR gets federal funds. And you know, I have a problem with that. Because if people in Alaska, if all they have is public radio, then all they know is what these headlines say. And they're wrong about COVID-19. And the headlines in the background don't have time to go over all these headlines that are wrong. About Russian collusion. Wrong. Wrong. About the Hunter Biden laptop. Wrong. And then there's a story about me. And part of what we went through on this committee during the Biden investigation, which, by the way, ended with Joe Biden's last act as president of the United States, pardoned his entire family preemptively for an
11-year period. To be fair, he didn't.
It just so happened to be the 11-year period that this committee investigated the Biden, that we had subpoenaed paper.
Yeah,
I don't
think
NPR reported about the pardons, but they reported a lot about how there was no evidence of any wrongdoing and things that just weren't true. In fact, there's a story, NPR, lawmaker leading Hunter Biden House investigation accused of owning a shell company. Well, that's me. Ms. Mayor, are you familiar with that story that NPR wrote about me at the height of the Biden investigation when you all were disputing every aspect of our investigation that is 100% factual? We have hundreds of pages of evidence, hundreds of pages of bank records, hundreds of pages of emails. Do you remember the story that NPR wrote about me saying I had a shell company?
Congressman, I was not at NPR at the time, and I'm unfamiliar with the story.
Where do you get your sources on something like that? That's a very serious accusation, because we're investigating a president and his family who had 28 shell companies. I have an LLC, had 5 properties in it. It's in my financial disclosure form. I've gone into great detail, given lots of interviews. But people that listen to NPR, they're totally disinformed.
Misled?
On the truth.
Yeah.
And you know, I have a problem with that, because you get federal funds. And I do believe there was a role for public radio 30 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. But because of technology today, I don't think there's a role for public radio anymore. And I think you abused the privilege.
Abused the privilege.
You had with receiving federal funds.
Get it.
Because these headlines here are not true. This is disinformation on some huge topics. Okay. Do you want to dispute anything that I said in the remaining 30 seconds?
Thank you, Congressman. First of all, I want to recognize your concerns. One of the first things that I did in coming in May was to beef up our editorial standards. I directed my editor-in-chief, who, by the way...
Why is NPR even doing editorials?
I'm so sorry.
Do editorials?
I don't mean editorial in terms of opinion editorial.
Do you even need opinion? Well, what does it matter with opinion? If you're a federally funded entity that's supposed to provide the news...
Can
you not provide the news?
Of course.
Fair balance?
Of course, Congressman. I mean editorial standards for our journalism was to beef up our editorial practices, bringing in more editors to make sure that we have more points of view reflected in every story. I've engaged in a number of actions.
And my time's expired.
Concerns.
I've lost confidence in public radio. I don't
think,
Chair, they should get a penny of federal funds. I yield back.
So before we go on, and because we're definitely considering this, he is a what? And he is
white.
Saying he's, wrong.
Yes. He is definitely white.
Very white.
Now, you want to explain the difference between a white and a white?
White.
Yeah, a white is a white person from the South. A white is somebody that puts raisins and carrots in their potato salad.
Grody!
A hate crime, and I could also make an argument for treason. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe
that
it's...
That is the distinction.
It's far beyond the walls of cultural appropriation. It's cultural denigration. And I think that all the whites, you know, typically you'll find them in the Northeast Corridor. They all smell like granola.
They're transing potato salad, Darren.
Yeah, like trans potato.
It is. It's wrong. We have to hold the line. All right, let's finish this.
Ms. Maher, I want to start with you. Just generally, would you say you generally agree or disagree with the following statement? The history of all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles?
I would not say I agree with that.
That's good to hear. It's interesting because a lot of your thinking, as expressed by your public statements, is deeply infused with economic and cultural Marxism. Do you believe that America is addicted to white supremacy?
I believe that I tweeted that, and as I've said earlier, I believe much of my thinking has evolved over the last half decade.
It has evolved.
Oh, really?
Why did you tweet that?
I don't recall the exact context, sir, so I wouldn't be able to say.
Okay. Do you believe that America believes in black plunder and white democracy?
I don't believe that, sir.
You tweeted that in reference to a book you were reading at the time, apparently, The Case for Reparations.
I don't think I've ever read that book, sir.
You tweeted about it.
You said you did. So yeah.
You took a day off to fully read The Case for Reparations. You put that on Twitter in January of 2020.
She didn't just tweet about the book. She tweeted that she took a day off to read the book, and then she's like, I don't think I read that book.
Wow.
I apologize. I don't recall that I did.
Come out of your own pocket with reparations, then, bitch.
Okay.
Uh-oh, excuse me.
Do you believe that white people inherently feel superior to other races?
I do not.
You don't?
No, let it fly. Tell us how you feel, Karen.
Feeling superior, how white of me. Why did you tweet that?
I think I was probably reflecting on what it was to grow up in an environment where I had lots of advantages.
It sounds like you're saying that white people feel superior.
I don't believe that anybody feels that way, sir. I was just reflecting on my own experiences.
Do you think that white people should pay reparations?
I've never said that, sir.
Yes, you did.
Pay up, bitch! Pay up!
Yes, the North. Yes, all of us. Yes, America. Yes,
our
collective sin and unpaid debt. Yes, reparations. Yes, on this day.
I don't believe that was a reference to fiscal reparations, sir.
What kind of reparations was it a reference to?
I think it was just a reference to the idea that we all owe much to the people who came before us.
That's a bizarre way to frame what you tweeted. Okay, how much reparations have you personally paid?
Sir, I don't believe that I've ever paid reparations.
Okay, just for everybody else.
I'm not asking anyone
to pay reparations. Seems to be what you're suggesting. Do you believe that looting is morally wrong?
I believe that looting is illegal, and I refer to it as counterproductive. I think it should be prosecuted.
Do you believe it's morally wrong, though?
Of course.
Of course. Then why did you refer to it as counterproductive? It's a very different way to describe it.
It is both morally wrong and counterproductive, as well as being
You tweeted, it's hard to be mad about protests in reference to the BLM protests, not prioritizing the private property of a system of oppression. You didn't condemn the looting. You said that it was counterproductive. NPR also promoted a book called In Defense of Looting. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I'm unfamiliar with that book, sir. And I don't believe that was at my time.
You tweeted that you read that book, but
I don't believe that I did read that book, sir.
Do you think that years ago,
this is crazy. Like, America he's a about, loony
quote, the whole community of genderqueer dinosaur enthusiasts. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of tax dollars?
I was not in PR at the time, sir.
That's not the question, though. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of our tax dollars?
Hold on. Pause it. What?
Tax dollars that we use are
Yeah, it's something about gay dinosaurs.
Genderqueer what?
Let's see. Dollars.
I was not on NPR at the time, sir.
That's not the question, though. Book called In Defense of
Living. Oh, you know,
you think that that's
hold on. Cam, forget it. Good point. That's a good one.
I mean, aren't they all, though? Aren't the biggest proponents of social justice reform are racist white people, though?
Then pay up, bitch. Pay up. I'll give you my cash app. You want Cindy. Reparations? You believe in reparations? I believe every white liberal part of this suffrage movement and this white guilt movement, you need to come out of your own pocket to black folks. You want to keep this crap going?
You can pay Karen.
You
directly.
Can pay. You dang on straight.
Click the little
you dang
dollar
on
icon
straight.
On her Twitter profile, Ms.
You
Marr,
dang you on
can,
straight.
You can pay.
Don't. Directly. Anything else is bullshit.
Sorry,
anything else is stupid. I don't want to hear it anymore. Here?
I think Bitcoin. You can pay me in Bitcoin. I'm fine.
Pay
with
in
that.
Bitcoin.
In Bitcoin. Yeah. Well, they gave it to the illegals, so the money's gone.
Ethereum. Mm. I'll take Ethereum.
There is no reparations.
There must be.
No, they gave it to the illegals.
And somehow find all this money.
The illegals, they did, though. That's
they did. The illegals got reparations. I'll say that and people think I'm crazy. I'm serious. They came up with almost $1 trillion for these people in 4 years to take care of every need they have. The money's gone. They said they can't. What? Yeah, you had it somewhere. You came up with it somewhere and it went to them. To put them in luxury hotels and give them free cars and free houses and free apartments and free dental care, free braces, free orthodontic care, free transgender surgeries and everything
More
else.
More food
Shut
stamps
up.
Than anyone else.
Yeah. Don't play with me.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Give me reparations.
We should have Cam come on the show as a guest sometime.
I'm gonna keep my.
You got an open invite, Cam.
I'm gonna keep my opinion to what the solution should be to solve these problems to myself, because Ash says I can't say it on the show.
Violence, then that's true.
No, it's not violence. It's financial. It's financial warfare. But nobody.
Financial warfare.
Nobody wants to listen to me. Everybody's like,
we'll speak in code. You starve.
It's very interesting. It's very interesting.
You just gotta starve the beast.
Yep.
The only
All
way.
Right, finish this out. Yep.
And I don't believe that was at my
you,
time.
You tweeted that you read that book, but
I don't believe that I did read that book, sir.
Do you think that a few years ago, NPR educated America about, quote, the whole community of genderqueer dinosaur enthusiasts? Do you think that that's an appropriate use of tax dollars?
I was not at NPR at the time, sir.
That's not the question, though. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of our tax dollars?
I think our tax dollars that we use are to be able to provide a wide range
of... I'll take that as a yes. You do believe that that's appropriate. Your health advisor at NPR also stated in an interview that, quote, fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat. Would you like to explain
this
how
is
fear
not
of
medical
fatness
advice.
Is more harmful than actual fat? That's an editorial at NPR.
I am not familiar with the editorial, and I don't believe that was published during my time here.
It's called Diet Culture is Everywhere. Here's how to fight it. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I think any reporting on health is an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars, yes.
And you think that editorializing that fat is not unhealthy is appropriate?
I don't know what that article is, sir, and I'm not familiar with it, so I couldn't say.
Fake news. Do you think that basic
he's a lunatic.
He's pretty savage.
Represent, quote, latent fat.
Go ahead, Brandon Gill.
I don't have an opinion.
It's also from NPR. Do you think civility is racist?
No, sir.
No. Well, your outlet ran an article entitled, quote, when civility is used as a cudgel against people of color, as in all things
Jesus
considered.
Christ.
Would you like to explain?
Get her. I'm not on the editorial side, sorry. I'm not familiar with that story.
You talk about how NPR is news. This is editorialization, and I'll read it. For many people of color in the United States, civility isn't so much social lubricant as it is a vehicle for containing them, preventing social mobility, and preserving the status quo. This is garbage. I'll spend all of my time doing everything I can to ensure you guys never get another dollar of taxpayer funding. This is complete garbage. Thank you, madam.
Thank you.
Thus their little lawsuit.
The reason that we watched that is because Catherine Marr is kind of the face of this thing. She's got public statements on the record. They're suing the Trump administration because President Trump cut their funding, or is, you know, advocating for cutting their funding, is cutting their funding based on allegations of bias. The allegation is NPR is not using taxpayer funds appropriately. They're engaging in things that are outside of their tax status. They're supposed to be nonprofit, but their reporting is very, very biased. It all goes one way. The staff all go one way. Actually, a lot of those staff probably go all ways. But the allegation is biased. And here's the thing. President Trump isn't just making allegations of bias. He's citing a very thick congressional record. They don't have a leg to stand on. I don't think that they can. I don't think they can go into a court of law and claim that they're not biased.
No, and I mean, there's no chance of that. Like, and the thing about it is like, she's sitting there getting cooked. And so they just threw her in the crock pot, and then this dude, she's like, I don't remember saying that. Well, yeah, you said it.
And here's when you said it. Here's where you read it.
Like, yeah. Like, yo, this just lets you know that how it's kind of like they make these things up in their minds, and they just, and I guess I don't know if it's to get a reaction out of people or some sort of pandering. Like, but if you can't remember your pander, what did you do it for, dog? Like, you know, like what kind of campaign are you running? I mean, I bet you if I asked Hillary Clinton today, you remember what you said on the Breakfast Club about your purse, what you had in your purse?
She's hot, like, sauce.
Yeah, she'll remember that. This lady doesn't remember anything.
Kamala did the same thing. Remember the collard greens in the bathtub? And she's like, don't tell anybody my secret, but I put a little bit of Tabasco in
there. I put a little E. coli on my collard greens. Don't tell nobody.
Do you think she washed the bathtub first?
Hell no.
I don't think so either.
Gross.
All right, so the Colorado government is currently involved in at least 20 actions against the Trump administration. These are taxpayer-funded lawsuits against what the people voted for.
Can we sue them?
Federal funding freeze, defunding medical and public health research, AmeriCorps funding cuts, wind energy development halt. Wind energy is responsible for so much damage, whether we're talking about whales or birds or landfills. Incredible that they're fighting that.
Remember, like, but isn't that funny? Like when Trump would talk about like the windmills and how it drives the whales crazy and all that. Like people like would really literally go on the legacy media and be like, "Oh, that's nonsensical." Or like, what is he talking about? And like, try to make him sound crazy. And then he got video after video after video of it on YouTube. Like we can't go see this ourselves. What is wrong with these people?
So they're suing about tariffs. They're suing about the restrictions on DEI. They're suing about the gender-affirming healthcare ban because they don't want to lose their funding, but they still want to keep sexualizing and sterilizing and mutilating and psychologically torturing children. Yeah. Election,
we want you to pay for us to chop off bratwurst.
They're suing on the election executive order. They're suing on what President Trump is doing within the federal agencies, and they're joining this PBS broadcasting nonsense lawsuit. So all taxpayer, every time that the state executive is getting involved, that Phil Weiser is, we really care about freedom, so we're challenging Trump's removing our freedom to have sex with kids. Whenever
and
he does
steal
that,
taxpayer money.
Whenever
would,
he does
I would
that kind of stuff,
say that like. Well, just come out and say it. Don't like. Why are you beating around the bush? We know what you are. Yeah. So why don't you just come out and be like, if you're really proud of your nastiness?
Yeah, if you were proud, you wouldn't hide.
Yeah, wait. Let your freaky flag fly.
If so much pride, why hide?
Why
hide? This is our June campaign.
That was good.
If you pride, and why you hide? Yep. June campaign just dropped. Everybody, run with it. All right. So yeah, every time that they get involved and do their nonsense, taxpayers are funding them doing that. People need to get real pissed. Because it's ridiculous. 20 lawsuits. Vanity projects and all sorts of things going on. Just nothing. Everything except fiscal responsibility is happening.
Right. Everything.
The one other thing that I wanted to mention, we had some crime stories and other stuff. We'll pull those in next week, but we're running out of time here. We're actually out of time, but I still want to talk about this. So we're going to go a couple minutes long. The Southern Poverty Law Center. Did you guys see this? They came out with their new list. And in Colorado, there's 33 groups. Extremist groups.
Yes.
That they're calling. This is like Antifa and stuff, right? Nope.
Yeah, they put Turning Point on there too.
Yep, I know. I had that pulled up to play that.
I'm trying to figure out why it took them so long to do that. Like, I figured they would have done that months, like years ago.
Right.
Colorado Alliance for Immigration Reform. Focus on the Family. Family Policy Alliance. Family Research Institute. Gays Against Groomers.
Quack.
Generations. Quack. The Pray in Jesus Name Project. These are hate groups
that are
being labeled. And the Denver Post is like, oh my gosh, new hate groups just dropped. Like, solid reporting, guys.
Yeah.
The Constitution Party for being anti-government. Well, pro-Constitution is being anti-government overreach.
Yeah.
Why is this hard? Let's see what else we got. We got Moms for Liberty, Freedom First, Parents Involved in Education.
Why? Oh, because we can't have the parents involved.
Well, yeah, because then you're less likely to be able to have sex with their children if they're engaged and involved. Tactical Civics, We Are Change, Scriptures for America.
Oh,
and look at the reasons. So most of these say anti-LGBTQ, anti-government. This one says Christian identity. Like, what? American Freedom Network for conspiracy propagandists, Northern Kingdom Prophets for general hate, Astrow Folk Assembly, Neo Volkish. I don't even know, man. I want to meet those guys though.
What's that even mean?
I don't know. Colorado Mountain Boys Militia. Militias are like, I mean, I'm in the Second Amendment right here.
I mean,
a well-regulated militia.
Being necessary to the security of a free state.
The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. We have five groups here. Four groups that say sovereign citizen. And then Patriot Front, which, to be fair, those guys are, you know, probably CIA or FBI.
The guys that wear the mask. Yeah,
they have nothing to do with us.
We'll give you Patriot Front, Southern Poverty Law Center. The rest is bullshit. And you're being bigots against gays against groomers. Right? You're being bigots, Southern Poverty Law Center, against non-pedophiles.
Right.
Right.
That is non-inclusivity, and it will not be tolerated.
There will be no intersectionality with my child, you bastards.
Drop them off, right? Drop them off and shut up.
Right.
We'll do to them whatever they want.
Right, that part.
Cam says he hates the hate list.
I understand why.
Well, you just landed yourself on it, Cam. Well done.
Right.
Cam said they have front in their name. Yeah, that's a good, They front,
patriots, but really they're government.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Really they're redcoats.
Yes, they are redcoats.
The British are coming.
Good.
Yeah, insane.
God, they followed us all the way across the water, and they're still in our grill.
I don't know how this is going to go for the West, but I know Charlie Kirk has made some very, very interesting claims about Islam over in the West. So that those might be the new red coats. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. Charlie Kirk has got his foot on the neck of Islam right now.
You want to watch? Do we want to watch the Charlie Kirk clip?
Please do.
All right.
Because I haven't seen it. I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
Hey, but you know what? Anything's better than this.
Shut it up right under pressure.
That's not real.
Pressure. Don't mess with the women of America unless you're rushing into better.
I think he was trying to say true international pressure, but it didn't work out.
I guess you're trying to just dissect this. It's ridiculous. Play the video.
This is the one where he was like, the most important word in America is. But my favorite Biden gaffe of all time, because it's so unintentionally honest, is when he says, all men are created equal to, oh, do you know the thing?
You know the thing.
What is the thing? The thing is the creator. He can't say the creator, and that's so unintentionally honest. He was probably afraid of being struck by lightning.
Okay, can I have my favorite gaffe? Can I say my favorite gaffe and then we can have a real quick? We have put together the most comprehensive voter fraud in American history.
Let's go. Yeah, that's a good one. Good one, Karen. Well done.
What'd you say? Okay, let's go.
I don't hold on. In the words of Donald Trump, I don't even think he knows what he said.
I don't either.
Yeah.
My president.
Yeah. And they would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for the meddling kids.
Meddling kids.
Mm-hmm.
Turning point as a hate group.
Yes. It's
coming from a hateful group.
It surprised took them so long to get us on the list.
What took you so long, Charlie?
Understand that they're literally putting high school chapters of ours on a hate group next to the KKK. And next to neo-Nazi groups. And I mean, we can laugh this off. There's an element to this. Remember that there was a shooter that went to the Family Research Council years ago, inspired by the SPLC list. This is them trying to make us basically surrender at Turning Point USA. We're gonna do the opposite, and our students are only gonna lean in even more. But they can't debate us on our ideas. They cannot have dialogue. They cannot actually go onto the merits of why they are right or why we might be wrong. Instead, they must smear us with the age-old one-liner that you are a racist or that you are a hater, and they're finally realizing the power of Turning Point USA, which is why they put us on.
I think Charlie Kirk. I think I've only seen Charlie Kirk really like get pressured by one debate ever. Other than that, he does pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know,
was it the Israel one?
Something that happened. It was something overseas.
It was British. He was debating British people about Israel.
Yeah, the dude with the hair. Yeah, that's the only one I saw. That's the only one I saw Charlie kind of get rattled by. Other than that, he's a chef. He's a master chef.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think their campus footprint is excellent. I wish they were less neocon-y though.
As far as Israel's concerned.
As far as U.S. foreign policy generally is concerned, certainly as it pertains to unlimited support of Israel without question of what their government's doing.
Yeah.
Because it signs us up and ropes us up into a lot of stuff that the American people probably don't want to be engaged in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I could see that.
But it's also, I mean, like, you know, Ukraine and Taiwan and taking on China and the role of Russia. It's very much U.S. should be the policeman of the world. We should be the, you know, military might that enforces everything in the world. And I don't believe that. I think that.
Yeah, but here's the fascinating thing.
Very Prussian.
Here's the fascinating thing. I have some friends that live overseas, right, in several different countries, whether it be Brazil, Thailand, you know, one just went to Vietnam, Philippines, so on and so forth, right? These individuals, like, you know, they live in countries that often don't get into global conflicts with other you know, superpowers or whatever. People just live, right? And like we say, like if you see how my boy's living in Thailand, he's living like a god, like. And then you'll hear about Thailand is beefing with Yeah. So like, no, it's like Thailand wants to, is policing the world. No, they're over there chilling.
Right? Yeah. So living.
Yeah, living. And he's like, I don't understand. He's been saying this for years. You know, like you go on TikTok and they're showing like all these Chinese manufacturers telling you how much the cost is to actually make the crap that we buy and how minimal it is. Man, he's been telling me this for years. Like he's like, bro, he's like, what y'all pay over there is stupid. He's like, I'm literally standing in the middle of the place that makes everything. He's like, and I know how much it costs. He's like, I don't know why y'all buy this shit y'all buy. I said, yeah. So it's fascinating. But yeah, he ain't not over there beefing. He gets up and spends $5 a day to eat.
Yeah. And probably very well and very, very well. Yeah. Wonderful food that's not full of additives and chemicals.
I don't think this fool cooks anything. Like I don't think he cooks a damn thing.
Probably has a maid.
Yeah. They come clean up. Like he's chilling.
So Crisscross says would be good to have the wolf issue addressed. The wolf issue is an interesting one because it's not so the people of Colorado allegedly voted to reintroduce wolves. It's a vanity project of the governor's husband. And, you know, we've been doing it for a while now. They've released 15 wolves. Half of them are dead. Bunch of cattle are dead. Bunch of dogs are dead. It's a disaster all around. They're going to keep going. We talked about this last week. But here's the thing where potentially the federal government could get involved. One of those wolves was killed in Wyoming. And it was killed in Wyoming because wolves don't recognize state lines. So it ran to Wyoming where it's not unlawful to kill them. And it was killed. That's, you know, the whole project.
So the wolves violated state's rights.
Yeah, they did. Mm. They did. Those wolves need to go to Alcatraz.
Yeah, immediately.
Mm. You don't mess with their cattle in Wyoming.
How about some Guantanamo
wolves? Yeah, no, they'll shoot a wolf.
They'll shoot.
They will shoot you. Yeah.
Y'all ain't watch Yellowstone.
Which is what ranchers and farmers want to do here when wolves are attacking their homes and their livelihoods, but they're not allowed to because it would upset the governor's husband.
I don't care. I wouldn't care. Are you what's the worst they're gonna do? Give you a fine?
In Colorado, they might kill you, Darren.
Because the wolf is white.
They might say that, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like fine print in there. It's like if you take the life of a wolf, we will take your life as well.
I mean, I'm taking two. For Marlon. If that's the case, I'll take two. And here's the thing.
And his husband will stand there with a tissue.
Here's my question. If I clap the
wolf, hit him harder.
Do they have these wolves like on like a GPS thing or something?
Like trackers? I think they probably do.
So
quickly, you know?
I would want to know that. I'd have to ask that question before I clap one of these wolves. Like, because if that's the case, now I got to cut it open and take the GPS out and toss it into the mountains. Like, I mean.
There again, another episode of Yellowstone. This exact thing happened. On the federal level, though.
Yeah, they do track more Alpha and Omega. Right, they trap the girl and boy wolf, and then they relocate them because they want them to procreate new wolves in a new area. And those poor wolves are like, "Where's my family?
Right?
Why did I wake up? And why does it smell weird? And what is this place? And where is my family?"
Yeah, it took you away from the whole crew.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm. Where's the
for the greater good? It's for the greater good.
All the wolves are dying, Karen. It's a 50% failure rate. They're just taking wolves from the Pacific Northwest and murdering them in Colorado.
But where's all the animal activist groups against this?
No, they're cheering for it because we need wolves, and they're very. I guess one of the 15 is pregnant, so they're super excited that they're going to have new wolves, and then they're going to call this thing a raging success, even though half the wolves have died.
Need wolves for? What do you need them for? What are they telling you the reason is?
They will make your husband happy.
That's it. Literally, that's it. Yeah, I know. That's it. When you're a dude, you got to make your husband happy. This play, the world is a vampire.
Well, to be fair, if you're a woman, it's a good idea to make your husband happy as well.
Of course.
Let's not give that to the gays entirely. Like women should be making their husbands happy as well.
But you can't destroy the world around you to do it.
Agreed. Yeah. And what? I mean, I would never ask my husband to reintroduce wolves and then murder half of them.
No, take them away from their environment. Like you said,
from their families.
Jared told us.
Just like, who
said,
the
what in the butt? I said, what?
All right.
Word.
Had to push it too far, Darren.
Turn it to the right. Word.
Work it, girl.
Word.
Okay.
Work it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, oh, you know.
Wyoming's looking better.
We just have
every
more
day.
One more story we'll hit really quickly and then we'll get out of here.
You're not going nowhere.
Thanks you guys for hanging out, all the everybody who's watching. Thank you. I know we're going a little bit long, but this is some heavy stuff, man.
Yeah. And you have to laugh about it or you'll die. Florencio Vargas was arrested for throwing Molotov cocktails at passing vehicles on I-25 on May 23rd. When Denver police responded, Vargas threw a Molotov cocktail at the officer and fled the scene. Oh. He sued Vargas down to downtown Denver, 14th and Market, where he was stopped around 10:30. He's being held on a $50,000 bond. He only needs to raise $5,000 cash till he'll be back out on the street throwing Molotov cocktails. But he has a long violent criminal history, including charges for homicide, 2 assault, what? Kidnapping, sexual assault, weapons, and more. He was sentenced to 8 years in CDOC in February of 2019.
They let him out.
He was arrested September 27th for violating probation. So it appears he didn't even have to serve half of his sentence. He was arrested in 2024 for kidnapping and homicide 2, which were both dismissed by plea. He was out on a $500 bond for a case. Here's the case number. Why do we continue to let violent repeat offenders terrorize our communities? I didn't hear about this on the news. Did you? And we have a short video here from.
He'd have been dead by now in Florida.
Right? And Sheriff Grady Judd's county.
What? Grady Judd would have aired him out. He would have put tons of holes in that fool.
Grady Judd would have tightened his ass up.
How many strikes? How many? Homicide? Sexual assault, like, and throwing Molotov cocktails at police, and he has the option to get out on bond? What?
Yo, I can hear Grady Judd right now. He would have been alive if he didn't do the stupid stuff that he did.
I love Grady Judd. I would move to Florida and move straight to his county.
Yes.
If somebody invades your house,
for a poke.
Blow him out the back door.
He's in Polk County.
Now,
I'm gonna tell you who else is a monster. Them boys over in Lee County, them cops over there, they got a whole compound, right? These people can see everything, right? They have robots, they've got drones, like they are not playing. You go through Lee County, you are and want to cause any trouble, you're going to jail.
If you do anything on the interstate in Florida, you're going to jail because they have smart highways and they can see every inch of the interstate system. It's already mass surveillance in Florida, but it's like freedom mass surveillance, right? Because it's because you guys are so free.
I'm free. I don't even mind that. Like, I don't care about the highway. Like, look, my thing is this: I want to live peacefully. I don't want chaos.
Freedom is only possible by constantly struggling for it, Darren.
I'm not struggling. I'm just struggling through school. I'm struggling through school. That's about it.
You've already laid down your rights.
Well, here's the thing.
Struggle is
real. Now, see, there's a line now, right? Because
we're drawing lines now.
We have to because if we're gonna talk about extensive amounts of freedom, then we got to open the borders back up.
Nope. No. Hell no.
You know what I'm saying?
Then no.
No, because the extensive amounts of freedom are inside of our nation. They're rights afforded to our people. And if we don't have borders, then we're not a nation and we can't preserve the rights of our people. We have to have strong borders if we are to preserve the freedom of our people.
Well, then how do you preserve the freedom of the people when you have a whole slew of individuals going down to El Salvador to jerk off Kilmar? See what I'm saying?
Well, I think we leave them there, first of all. I think we deny them re-entry. I think they try to come back, and CBP is like, nah, like El Salvador. That's where you live now.
I mean, but, you know, according to them, these freedoms are supposed to be given to them as well. So given to the Kilmars of the world as well. So you know, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that?
All we have to do is enforce the oath. Have you protected and defended the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic, or are you a domestic enemy? Enforce that, problem cleans itself up.
Ash, it sounds great. It sounds fantastic. But guess what? The only thing that people understand is loss of life, loss of finances. The problem is this oath means nothing anymore. Why?
Because it will. It will.
Hold on. It means nothing anymore because you keep feeding the beast. They don't give a shit.
All right.
It clearly
showed you that.
And stop feeding the beast. I'm on board. Also, we should hold oath breakers accountable and punish violations of their oath. Right now, they swear an oath and then immediately start subverting it. Look at Colorado, right? They all swear the oath, allegedly. We don't really see a record of it, but allegedly, they swear an oath to protect and defend our rights, which include the Second Amendment, for example, which is also in the Colorado Constitution, our right to keep and bear arms, and swear the oath, get done swearing the oath, and immediately start subverting the Constitution. Punish that shit. Hold them accountable for that. And it will mean something. If oath breakers face the punishment for treason, it'll clean itself up real quick. Go ahead, Darren.
You fund it all. You pay for that.
I said it also includes
Both of y'all pay for that. Both of y'all. Am I doing my hand the right way? Yeah, both of y'all pay for that. Okay? You guys fund the chaos. You guys fund the nonsense with your tax dollars. So... Until you cut off the faucet, none of this shit you talk about is gonna work. Nothing. Well,
actually, Darren, 40% of our state budget is federal, so you're funding it too. So stop pointing your finger and do something about it.
I'm in school. I ain't funding shit.
All right, everybody. That is. Oh, you know what? We have two more sponsors that I completely forgot to play. So we'll play those and then we'll get out.
Yeah, do that so we can fund this shit.
Right.
Well, in the case of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, these are two medications that have been FDA approved for use in humans for decades. Mm-hmm. They are very, very inexpensive. Interestingly, available over the counter in almost every other country other than the US and Canada. Yeah. You can just walk into a pharmacy and buy them like we buy Tylenol in much of the world because they're that safe. And we've known for decades that ivermectin has very strong antiviral properties. It has anti-inflammatory properties. And both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are what we call zinc ionophores. They help to move zinc from the bloodstream into the cell, which is where it needs to be in order to fight off a virus. So lots of application for these. And we have every reason to believe that those drugs also will likely have some efficacy against H5N1 or a number of other respiratory viruses that we may meet down the road.
Since we launched Alp, we've had four flavors, but we are proud to announce Alp has a brand new flavor, one of several we'll be rolling out over the next year or so, and it is Sweet Nectar. I have personally tested this product two at a time, and it's excellent. Sweet Nectar, the new flavor out from Alp, really, really good. Go to alppouch.com. You can order it in bulk by the pallet if you want. I have... strongly recommend it. Sweet Nectar. And stay tuned for more flavors.
All right.
Hey, hold on. Hey, Cam, I got a scholarship, Playboy. I ain't funny the damn thing. Thank you. No.
Go ahead. Such a tough guy. Stop. Yeah. Stop. You guys are funding it. You guys are funding it. You're funding it.
So?
You're funding too.
I said it. I ain't
40% federal.
No.
That's why they're freaking out and filing 20 lawsuits is because they're really concerned about 40% of their budget going away.
Ain't that a bitch? How they think they are entitled to taxpayer money? The absolute unmitigated goal.
Here's my question about how these taxes work, right? So you got state, like look at Colorado, right? 40% of the budget comes from the federal government, but it's like, If you would just let the states keep more of the taxes, then you wouldn't have to rely on the federal government. Wouldn't that make more sense?
Well, here's the thing that's hilarious about this, right, is that we have the taxpayer bill of rights here, meaning there's a cap and they can't go above it. They've been desperately trying to repeal it.
Oh, yes, they have.
They hate it. But they still tax us into oblivion, right? Like the cap is still puts us in pretty high level of taxation compared to other states. And realizing that they're constantly telling us that the reason we don't live in utopia is because we don't pay enough taxes. And also 40% of the state budget is coming from the federal government. They don't just feel entitled to steal from Coloradans. They're stealing from the entire nation to do right. things like reintroduce wolves that are all going to die.
Right. Or pay for illegals.
Maybe they get over to Florida. They're dead.
They kidnap and murder wolves. They are kidnapping and murdering wolves.
If they make it over to Florida, they're cooked.
Where are you at, PETA?
I'm gonna be out on the beach with a coat. Okay, that is. A
All right. Well, that is the show.
I'm gonna be dancing like a music video.
Do you guys know that the next time that we come together on this show, it will be June?
Wow.
What is our tagline for June?
Hearing this wow is killing me. Wow.
What is our tagline for June?
Hold up. Your energy that you put into the degree funds to be. Don't be mad at me because I want to be smart.
Okay. I know. Cam is definitely coming on the show because I want to see you guys fight.
Black people can be just as smart as white kids.
Just as bright and talented. As white kids.
Quiet.
Yeah. Quiet. So everybody remember, we're heading into June to put on the full armor. And remember, if you pride in, why you hide in?
That's a good question.
We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.